Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
He needed help. 30 years ago, the cops would have brought him to a psychiatric emergency room. He probably would have gotten antipsychotics, and he probably would have been hospitalized for a couple of weeks. That's the way it was done in the 70s when I practiced psychiatry. But today, that doesn't happen. The cops left. He was left on his own. He was a man who shouldn't have been on his own. He should have had the state looking after him, and he ended up killing people in a way that's, look, you want to respect the civil liberties of everybody, but there is a point in which if you don't take control of people who are clearly out of touch with reality, you are damaging them, exposing them, and of course, tragically, exposing a lot of innocents around them.
That's the late Charles Krauthammer, who was a psychiatrist in addition to being one of the leading conservative pundits in America, talking about a topic I am now going to try to learn a lot about. I'm going to try to find the best magazine articles, books, or whatever on this. What was our mental health system like back in the day? I was listening to a couple of podcasts yesterday from people who are old enough to remember the way we handled mental health, as Charles mentioned there, in the 70s or the 60s or the 50s, where if, like, your family member thought you were crazy, they could go and get you sent to the funny farm, as they'd call it, and taken a look at until they could deem you healthy enough and not a danger to yourself or others and let you out. Obviously, we don't do that at any level anymore. We just don't. And it's been that way for decades, and whether it's all the people on the street walking around in circles talking to themselves, are they mentally ill? Is it just drugs? I don't know. I went into a story. I came out of the IHOP yesterday with my son. Walking out of the IHOP, here comes street person walking our way. My son runs behind me because we had a horrifying incident a couple years ago. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you haven't. But anyway, he's scared to death of these people. And the guy's gesturing his arms and yelling, blah, 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 blah. You see these people probably if you live in certain areas. And yeah. I thought, that guy's just, I see this guy all the time. All the time. I see him a couple times a week picking up my dry cleaning, whatever. He's always in that area. Yelling to himself, waving his arms around. Is he high or mentally ill or whatever? He certainly seems to be mentally ill. But we have no process for doing anything with these people.
Which is crazy.
Which is pretty crazy. It would cost a hell of a lot of money, and it's a heck of an infrastructure to rebuild. But I think that conversation needs to occur.
Absolutely, it does. Boy, Krauthammer made a really powerful point there. He mentioned that if somebody is out of control, clearly, I mean, for instance, the street person you were just describing, to not intercede, and around here, we are hardcore civil libertarians, okay, in every way. But if you don't intercede, you are subjecting them to terrible, terrible danger. In the name of letting them, you know, live their own life. For instance, the dead young man who murdered the children in Texas. Because there was no system to intercede, or nobody did, or nobody was aware enough, or whatever, and the facts are still emerging on that, he's dead. Other the young crazy person in Buffalo who shot those poor people in the grocery store. He'll never see the light of day as a free man again in his entire life. You talk about a repercussion by, you know, we got to leave him alone. We can't, you know, we can't do anything against anybody's will. And trust me, again, that's my orientation.
Yeah.
Tragic consequences.
So I think part of the forces at work here on making this difficult to deal with the mental health situation in that way, or going back to the old days, would be the left treating it like blaming the victims. So that's no good. And then on the right, more of a civil liberties thing you were just talking about. Budget issues. A guy like me, my concern is we'll throw a bunch of money at it and not do any good. That'd be my concern. We'll spend a whole bunch of money and not do any good. But you know, obviously, we're tying this to the school shooter situation. I can't remember all the individual cases. I don't have all the names memorized like some people do. I don't want to. I don't think we should know these people's names. I am disturbed by how many times I've seen the face of this killer up on the TV today. I don't know why you keep doing that when every mental health professional says that creates more school shootings, more copycat killings, but that's a separate topic. Back to the mental health thing. Almost all of these people have some sort of mental health issue, and when they go into a school or a grocery store or whatever and kill a bunch of people, you find I was about to say dad. There's usually not a dad. But you find mom, grandma, teachers, neighbors, whoever say, oh, yeah, you know, he's a ticking time bomb. We hear that all the time. So we got to have some sort of system for dealing with this. And I got access to a government study specifically done by the Secret Service. Starting in 2012, there had been enough mass shootings that they started looking at everybody who committed a mass shooting or everybody that threatened to try to gather as much data as they could about these various people. And I got 68 pages here of what they concluded. One of the things is they always express to someone somewhere the fact that they want to do it. It's always easy in hindsight to connect the dots and very difficult in real time. How the hell would you monitor somebody and everything they say to every friend, random person, like this guy the other day who went into the school in Texas? He posted it on Facebook that he was going to go shoot up a school. But he posted it on kind of a random posting on Facebook. How would you monitor stuff like that? So, but they do express it in some way. There seems to be enough of a need, like a something about the way the human brain works. You need to express that. There must be a last reservoir of this is bad, I don't really want to do this, or I'm worried about it, that makes you want to express it, right?
Or I think it might be even simpler than that. The act of violence is an expression of rage or depression or hatred. And so, but it's not the only one. They'll say how they feel.
So one of the things in the report that they mentioned is that these people have always experienced some sort of significant life stressor in the days or months before they go on the shooting spree and kill a bunch of people. And we were mocking the idea of stressors when you're a high school kid. Yeah, there's always a stressor. So-and-so turned me down for a date or broke up with me, or I'm getting teased because of this or that or whatever, and that's tough. Somebody from the agency that conducted this got in touch with me and said, who having done interviewed a bunch of these people, said nearly everyone I interviewed over my 20-plus years were either legitimately mentally ill or what I would charitably call life's losers. That's not a criticism of them. It's just they're in that category of life has not worked out for these people. And this got way worse after the proliferation of the internet and social media. Often they had no real in-person friends, but an online echo chamber of those who would encourage their worst impulses. For example, I have no real friends or no in real life champion, but I get online and say members of this group or that politician is the devil and should die. And I'm going to get real-time validation likes and the dopamine dump that comes with that validation when I have no other support group, no family, wow. No friends, nothing there that's given me that, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, belongingness, all that sort of stuff. We all need that or we're built that way. You're not getting that from any real human being. You're getting that online from some people around your worst impulses and thoughts.
Wow, you know, I think I'd appreciated the incredible effect of approval and disapproval online for young people, but it hadn't really occurred to me how starved they are for it because of the lack of in-person relationships.
So it's magnified.
Particularly during COVID.
So yeah. It's so magnified in its importance. These life's losers have very little going for them. They find themselves on a path to dangerousness. And our job, when we interviewed these people, is to find out if they were, you know, where they were on the path and what to do about it, but... Yeah, I had never looked at it that way before. So if you've got a connection with your brother, sister's mom, dad, coach, friends, minister, whoever, that gives you that level of connectedness, then randos online aren't gonna be as influential. They'd still be influential, but they wouldn't be as. They're just one of many voices and not as important as the voices that are close to you. As opposed to the life loser who... has nothing. The only support reinforcement you're getting in your life is coming from that. I mean, the guy did the killings in Buffalo, and he talked about during the COVID isolation how he turned to 4chan and online groups like that. That's where he was getting his validation, his connectedness.
Right.
And there were reports yesterday, I haven't looked into them further, that some people felt like this now dead shooter in Texas had really gone sideways after the schools shut down and was even more isolated, which is not surprising. If you're already feeling fairly isolated and ostracized, and now you're just alone in your room with your computer, it's amazing how little attention we're all paying to this vast change in human lives that has occurred since smartphones. I guess because I and everybody else feels like, well, what are you going to do about it? It happened. We're all going to adjust. But has there ever been a bigger, faster change in the way human beings lived than that? I don't think so. If you can name what it is, I'd like to know what it is. That something that occurred so quickly and was such a radical change from the way human beings have lived forever than constantly staring at a phone, constantly getting information. Of course, there are going to be all kinds of fallout from that, some of it very negative.
Yeah, I think the only thing that leaps to mind is when suddenly televisions were in every home.
But that came out gradually. I know that for a fact because people were watching TV on the East Coast and watching I Love Lucy a decade before they got TVs and were watching TV in the Midwest. Everybody in the country all got smartphones like... bang, like 2009, everybody was staring at their phone. 3 years earlier, nobody was. We went from nobody was to everybody was in a couple of years. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that it's hard to know exactly what can be done about it or what will be done about it, but I think everybody being aware of it is incredibly important.
Sure.
The changes it's wrought, the damage it's done, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're definitely headed that direction, but in terms of just a change overnight, and then... even when TV hit, I don't think people were getting up in the morning and flipping on the TV the first thing they did before their feet hit the floor, and the last thing they did before they closed their eyes, and they weren't watching TV while they were standing in line at the deli. And just
there weren't psychopaths in the TV confirming the worst urges of people. The crowd that says jump when they see somebody on a ledge.
Right.
There are a lot of those people. They are online trying to egg the troubled on to do their worst.
Well, now, I'll bet parents weren't mostly having trouble tearing themselves away from the TV screen to pay attention to their little kid when they're trying to talk to them. As we are with smartphones. Oh, it's just so awful. So awful.
We're diseased.
We are diseased. You can comment anytime you want. Text line 415-295-KFTC. Kevin Spacey is facing charges. Pervo. Okay. Kevin Spacey is facing pervo charges in Great Britain.
Can hit you. And you got to get to that so-called assault weapon ban thing, because I've got some really interesting stats of a similar sort.
Yep, definitely will later this hour. Stay with us.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
All right, well, there's more information on a story coming out that I got all fired up about last night, and for whatever reason, emotionally, I just didn't even want to talk about it. The idea that there were a whole bunch of cops there. This happened with another shooting, remember? We discussed this a lot. I don't know which one it was. And there was a whole bunch of cops there outside for a long time, didn't want to go in, listening to a guy murder children.
Yeah, I remember that was a factor in the Florida high school shooting. The post Columbine unanimous conclusion of law enforcement is you go in and engage immediately. That's what stops the killing.
It seems to me that the common sense, if I was just a regular guy there, the first thing you'd do would be go engage the killer. What the hell are you going to do? Stand around and listen to little kids get murdered?
You know, I think the Florida thing is instructive, though, in that what actually happened didn't happen. It took days to actually know and figure out. I'm reading a couple of different accounts of the police response and or lack thereof in Uvalde, Texas, and it's a little bit confusing. The AP says frustrated onlookers urged police officers to charge into the Texas elementary school where the rampage killed the poor 19 little children and the two adults. Go in there, nearby women shouted. A 24-year-old man who tried to rally some other guys. He said, let's just run in and rush him. We can get him. There are more of us than there are of him. And everybody insisted they not do that.
Because...
Well, see, that's the part that's not clear to me.
So, am I wrong? I mean, because I fully realize the information I have could be old because these stories get updated regularly. We always caution people in the first day or so of these things, stories often change. But the story, at least last night, was Border Patrol guy there shows up and with no backup runs in and shoots the killer because he said, I'm not waiting. I'm going.
Yeah, I think there's more to it than that, and I know enough to know when I don't know enough. For instance, here's what I'm talking about. Lieutenant Department of Public Safety said he barricaded himself by locking the door and just started shooting children, teachers that were inside the classroom. Shows you the complete evil, etc. Let's see, 40 minutes to an hour elapsed from when he opened fire on a school security officer to when the tactical team shot him. More on them in a minute. The bottom line was law enforcement was there. They did engage immediately. They contained him in the classroom. They had trouble breaching the classroom door, had to get a staff member to open the door with a key. I'm switching to a different account now, and this is in the Washington Examiner.
Just to interject here, as a lot of this is coming from law enforcement, wasn't there a story out of the Parkland thing where one of these guys turned out to be lying and ended up having to retire from the force because he was covering his own ass, lying about the fact that he was a coward and wouldn't go engage a shooter? And yeah, I'm calling him a coward because I think he's a coward.
An anonymous law enforcement official told the AP that an agent, a Border Patrol agent, killed a gunman. Rushed into Robb Elementary School without waiting for backup. The Border Patrol agent shot and killed the gunman who was hiding behind a barricade. He was wounded but able to walk out. Border Patrol sources told Bill Malugin of Fox News the agent believed was part of an elite tactical team. I'm told that the agent went in with his technical group with other agents. They formed a stacking maneuver while Texas law enforcement was engaged with the shooter who was barricaded. They came in from the opposite side. So, and at least some people are claiming, and I don't know, that it wasn't clear what was going on in the classroom and law enforcement couldn't get in and the guy was barricaded. And so...
That's not the reports I've heard from some people that were there. Now, that doesn't mean those are accurate, but people who are there watching say that they have a different description of it. And remember, last time we had law enforcement lying about this, at least one guy.
Right.
I have more comments on this, as you might, on the text line, 415-295-KFTC. If you miss an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So at least one father of a dead child is blaming officers at the scene for not acting sooner to stop the alleged gunman. He was in front of microphones yesterday. He was very emotional, as you can imagine, and believed that police could have prevented the incident from escalating and getting as bad as it did if they'd acted faster. Here's what it sounded like at the time.
Man, y'all can't be like that, man. Y'all can't be like that when there's people.
Yes, I do. Get across the street. Because I'm having to deal with you. Get across the street. Get across the street.
Okay, we're
going to
back up. Are you going to walk into that gate and get him?
You got to get
violent
with us. Don't get
violent
with
them. I'm going to have the rifles here.
You know that there are kids, right? Kids, they don't know how to defend themselves.
Man, this is a, there are a lot of different directions you can go with this conversation about the relationship between the government and the people and what public servants are here to do and blah, blah, blah. You can hear people there imploring the police to go in there and do something. The police yelling at the people that want to do something. In fact, some guys wanted to get together and do something. Police are yelling at them to get out of the way. You're getting in our way. Those people are saying, you're not doing freaking anything while a guy's in there murdering children. That's where that conversation was. I realize there are more facts to come. I'm a little skeptical because when this happened last time at the shooting in Florida, there was at least one cop who ended up quitting his job. Did he eventually commit suicide or was that just a, I don't remember that story, or was the worried about it anyway. There was at least one cop that ended up lying to cover the fact that he didn't go in there. So I don't know that I completely trust these people to be honest about this situation, but I do remember when this came up last time, there was a guy who worked here who was a former cop. And it came up in the lunchroom, and he said, we are not required to risk our lives to save someone else. We are not required to do that. And I thought, really? And he said, yeah, we're not required to do that. He said, you know, somebody who's young and childless and gung-ho, I don't like the term gung-ho because I feel like that's a pejorative. He might not have meant it that way, but I feel like it's a reckless, overly excited sort of thing often when people say gung-ho. I don't know that he meant it that way, but sometimes mm-hmm. that's what people mean. But if you're young and childless and gung-ho, you might go in there. You're older and you got kids, you might not. Okay, so then we get to this part of the conversation. Always, would you go in there, Jack, as a grown-up with kids? It's a tough call. That's not the question, though. The question is this. Can society find enough people that would go in there to fill these positions? And if we can, let's hire those guys. I don't know the answer to that, but my guess would be, because almost everywhere in America, it's really, really hard to become a cop. There are way more applicants than there are positions because it pays really well. A lot of people want to be cops. Let's hire the people that would be willing to go in there as they listen to gunshots when they know there's a guy in there murdering kids. Is that possible? What do you think?
How are you going to do it? How are you going to do that? You don't know. I mean, I agree with you in principle. Just the
flat out ask people to start with. Well, if you were in that situation, would you run in there or not? I mean, people might lie. I don't know, but I'd like to hear their answer. Because the guy I was talking to used to be a cop. I wouldn't go in there. Okay, well, then I don't want you to be a cop. I want to hire people who would go in there. Because there are a lot of regular citizens that would. There are a lot of mm-hmm. regular dads who would have run in there. There
the
just
dads
are.
And the kids. I'll bet 90% of the dads of the kids would have.
Exactly. So that's the other thing I was thinking of. The dads of the kids would. I've heard this said before from cops. A lot of cops, their thing is, my job is to go home safe at the end of the day. Is that who we want as cops? Or we want cops who are saying, my job is we all go home safe at the end of the day. And if I have to risk mine to make sure you go home safe, I'm willing to do it. Maybe we can't, as a society, hire enough people who want to do that. I don't know. But are we trying to?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like there's enough men, and I'm saying, I'm not trying to eliminate women. I think it'd primarily be men. But I got to believe there's enough men who would run in there rather than wait. What is it, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a long time to listen to gunshots.
It's unthinkable.
It is unthinkable. There's a God there. I feel like I personally know 10 guys that were in the military that would have run in there without a weapon mm-hmm. to try to do something.
Yeah, that was one of the thoughts I have kicking around in my head. But everybody who's trained as an infantryman certainly has done that and worse if they've been in combat. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let's just, and I don't know, but I want to make sure we look into, have we gotten our relationship between the citizenry, the regular person, and what we want out of law enforcement, have we gotten our relationship all mixed up somewhere where you got cops screaming at people for being in the way as they do nothing and children are murdered? That seems weird to me. But there are more details to come, I'm sure. But I'm not optimistic that the story's going to change a lot. It didn't change a lot from Parkland. In fact, it got worse the more we learned. The story got worse.
Right.
If you know anything about that, if you got any ideas of what we could do to change that situation, is it possible? Maybe I'm out of bounds and wrong. I don't know. Text line 415-295-KFTC. So do we have time for this? Okay, here's another angle of this whole thing. I keep hearing about the federal assault weapons ban, that we need to ban assault weapons. Why is someone able to go in and buy an AR-15, which is considered an assault weapon? We had an assault weapons ban for a while. I'll read you a little bit of the details on that. It was actually called the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act that included a ban on semi-automatic firearms that were defined as assault weapons as well as certain ammunition. It was a 10-year ban passed by Congress in 1994 on a close 52-48 vote. It wasn't overturned. It just was a 10-year ban, and it had to be renewed or it was going to go away, and it went away in 2004. It was not renewed at that time. Now, I'm reading this from Wikipedia, but I did separate Google's on this to back up the fact. Wikipedia, by the way, is not a right-wing organization. And these topics like this one are battled over. It's quite the battle space between people on the right and the left. And I think in a lot of these, you get pretty close to accurate. And I dug into a lot of this stuff. Studies have shown the ban had little effect on overall criminal activity, firearm homicides, and the lethality of gun crimes. There is small evidence that the frequency of mass shootings may have slightly decreased, but it's not enough to draw any conclusion. The deadliness of mass shootings, they have no evidence to prove that it did anything. And they've got all the sources. You can go to them and then go read them independently on the studies, how they went about it, the methodology and all that sort of thing. But there just isn't evidence that accomplished much. I know it seems counterintuitive. It seems counterintuitive to me at first blush. But it's just that we tried it for 10 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. 10 years is a good long try at something like that, and it just did not accomplish what people were hoping it would accomplish.
You know, the argument could be made, I'm not making it, but it would take like 100 years for this sort of thing to really wash out, to prove itself or not prove itself, just because of the number of guns we have in this country.
There are 20 million AR-15s in the country right now.
There are?
20 million.
Holy cow.
That's a lot.
By the way, I found this very interesting. This was sent along by a knowledgeable source. I'll just say that. And this does not include this year, obviously, in which a couple of mass shootings have involved a rifle. So I'm not trying to make any particular point. I just found it interesting. Of the 61 active shooter incidents last year, as defined by the FBI, roughly an active shooter is someone actively trying to kill people in a populated area with a firearm. The shooter was armed with a handgun only in 42 incidents, a handgun and a rifle in 5, rifle only in 5, rifle and shotgun once, shotgun only twice, handgun and shotgun one incident, and 5 did not specify the gun used. Breakdown on the injuries based on weapon. Handgun only, 76 killed, 86 wounded. Handgun and rifle, 6 killed, 19 wounded. Rifle only, 10 killed, 24 wounded. And then it gets into very small numbers. If we do the math on just comparing handguns and rifles, handgun only is about 69% of the incidents and 74% of the deaths. Rifle only is 8.2% of the incidents and 9.7% of the deaths. I think, and again, this is not trying to leap to any sort of firm conclusion. I just thought the evidence was interesting. It is unquestionable that the mainstream media is obsessed with so-called assault weapons. Where they are not involved, it is practically a non-factor in the story. When they are involved, it becomes often the lead fact discussed in the story. They're obsessed.
All of the mass shootings over a certain number, though, I think every single one of them included an AR-15. It is the weapon of choice of mass shooters. You know, we've got all the evidence I just mentioned that the assault weapons ban did not really help. But I'll mention again, friend of mine, law enforcement, right-leaning guy, Second Amendment guy over and over, he's bothered by the fact that regular people can have AR-15s just because they're so good. I don't know. I find that interesting that he thinks that. I know the only time I've ever shot one, I thought, wow, this thing is so easy to use. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. How about raising the age to 21? Constitutionality aside, does that help anything? We've had 2 shooters in a row that were under 21.
Well, as a thought exercise, I'm willing to discuss it because I'm willing to discuss about anything. But the phrase "constitution aside" is an interesting one.
Yeah, it's a pretty major caveat.
Gravity aside, let's discuss flapping our arms and going on vacation instead of flying on an airline.
That's a pretty good example, right?
What are you working at here? What are you trying to do?
Well, you're
out of control. Check yourself.
You have to be 21 to buy a handgun. Practically everywhere.
I think that was just overturned, wasn't it?
No, that was the long gun in San Diego.
Oh.
So, for whatever reason, long guns you can buy at 18, but handguns, regularly, they limit it to 21-year-olds.
I will neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Well, I will confirm that in moments. And you can comment anytime you want. Text line 415-295-KFTC. Much more on the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Hey, I heard about a couple with a busy life who just got married after a 60-year engagement. 60 years. That explains why one of the gifts on the registry was a new hip. It really is a sweet story. They actually met on the show, 22,000 Day Fiancé. It was really cute. So
those are references I don't get.
So all the TV shows were live last night, Michael?
Yeah, except for Colbert, as far as late night stuff.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Fallon and, Seth Meyers, they all talked about the shootings.
Oh, they did? Okay, yeah. I was wondering if they addressed that or not. I saw a headline that some Texas station turned away from Jimmy Kimmel when he went on a long anti-Republican, it's Republicans that are causing this screed. God, that's just... It's not helpful for anybody to claim that one side is pro-murdered little children.
Or so afraid of the NRA, they're soft on murdered children.
Yeah, that's just... yes, it is a fact that long guns, the age is 18 in this country, but handguns, it's 21. So should long guns also be 21? Would that help anything? As taking in a fair amount of information yesterday on the whole... We know way more than we used to know about when your brain fully matures, and it ain't at 18.
Right.
And you could apply that to all kinds of different things, whether you're convicted as an adult or a child or blah, blah, blah.
Clearly, because I was just on the ATF's website, clearly the idea that you've got to be 21 to buy a handgun, for what good that does, and it probably does some. Clearly, that passed constitutional muster. So, where do we go from there?
I don't know. I'm willing to have that discussion. It's fine with me. I'm willing to have the discussion to raising the adult limit to 21, period.
Sure. You know, I especially am comfortable with that given the makeup of the Supreme Court. I don't think for a second they'll trample on the Constitution or the Second Amendment. So there's a good backup and there's no need to get all scared or paranoid. Anything, any gun law that's proposed hasn't passed, and anyone that passes that doesn't pass constitutional muster will quickly be put into the shredder. So, yeah, I'm not particularly worried. I'm not one of those, you even give half an inch rhetorically speaking and they'll come for my guns guys.
Right.
I'm not that guy. I have very little fear that the government's going to come for our guns.
What if we've just been really wrong, or at least are wrong now, about when somebody is an adult?
This is such an interesting topic to me, but it's kind of complicated because they've found, if you're not familiar with this, that the part of your frontal lobe that is essentially your let's weigh the consequences, I probably shouldn't do that part of your brain, doesn't fully mature until you are, depending on the person, 23 to 29.
Is there anybody that denies that looking back over their lives?
Oh, please. It's self-evident.
Right.
Plus we have a society where 18-year-olds ain't going off to get married and put on their hard shoes and make a living and have kids and the rest of it, like they were in 1940, for instance. So when does adulthood begin, really? What about in terms of crime? You got some 18-year-old slaughters rival gang members. Are you going to say, well, that's a child, so I'm not, these are vexing questions.
Yeah, they are.
Some of the reaction to the shooting yesterday, like Kimmel's, was emotionalism and idiocy, including one notable Democratic congressperson. But a quick word from our beloved sponsor, Simply Safe Home Security, before we get there. Do you have a situation where you're afraid of somebody getting into your house while you're asleep? Okay, it's the obvious example. Do you have a fear of somebody leaving your house while you're asleep?
Yep, I've had that problem.
Yeah, Simply Safe Home Security has essentially doorway alarms. What do they call them? Entry sensors. And here's one gal who sleepwalks. Maybe you got a troubled child. Maybe you got a teenager who's been sneaking out and doing drugs, whatever. They have that, as well as burglar alarms and fire sensors and all sorts of good stuff. The point is you customize the system to your needs.
Protecting people in ways they could never have imagined. 4 million people using Simply Safe right now for that 24/7 all kinds of protection at less than $1 a day and no long-term contracts.
Yep, it's an amazing system. The outdoor security camera, the wireless camera with the night vision, high def, where you can see faces, see license plates, is great. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. They got a big discount because you use our code simplysafe.com/Armstrong. They'll throw in a free indoor security camera, too.
So I never do these breaking news stories. I've ignored 500 of them in the last several years, but this one seems like it might be significant. Donald Trump must testify under oath in a civil investigation, according to a judge. Now, this might get overturned by another judge or whatever, but I think this is the first time this has happened where a judge has said, no, the former president needs to sit down and testify. And it's all
civil
about
investigation into why
family,
the Greens fees are so high at Trump National.
Or? Exactly. Family real estate business, and the way he valued his holdings and all that sort of stuff. But whatever.
Oh, that stuff, yeah. Yeah, okay. Nothing to do with Jan 6 or anything like that. All right, so Ruben Gallego, he's a Democratic lawmaker. After the terrible shooting, et cetera, he tweeted, and he spelled it all out, F-U-N-R-A. Then he turned his anger against Ted Cruz. F you, Ted Cruz. You care about a fetus, but you will let our children get slaughtered. Just get your ass to Cancun. You're useless.
Get your ass to Cancun, an interesting shot.
Well, remember, Ted, yeah. In a subsequent tweet, Mr. Gallego, not done, said, just to be clear, F you, Ted Cruz, you effing baby killer. This is a member of Congress.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, that's...
Then Kyrsten Sinema tweeted her grief. Gallego replied, please just stop. Unless you're willing to break the filibuster to actually pass sensible gun control measures, you might as well just say thoughts and prayers. This guy's unhinged.
Yeah, that sort of language does not make it more likely that we ever get anything done, the sort of thing you want done, whatever that is.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.